My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Diana Fryer is one of the hosts of one of the more popular shows on Radio Memphis, known as Memphis Metal Mondays. It's Monday nights at 9 p.m. Central, and it goes till midnight or later, and it's all about metal. And getting a chance to catch up with her and sit down and talk about the early days of Radio Memphis and some other things does present its own interesting, well, an interesting podcast. Now, she's known as Dirty D on the air, and you're going to get a taste of that. A little warning up front, even though we do tag this podcast as explicit, the language in the following, well, yeah, it's pretty explicit, not just from her, but from myself, too. So keep in mind, if you've got sensitive ears around, you might want to put some headphones on for this.
You all right there now?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm just, you know, sending I love you messages.
To whom?
A couple of people.
Are you being a whore?
What? No.
Love you too.
Too. Smoochies and everything.
Right. We have said time and time again that if it wasn't for women, texting would not exist.
What?
That's true. It's driven by women.
No, it's not.
Yeah, men do it because we're dragged into it by women, but...
Well, what's
but no, women
I'm
are,
not buying that because there are times when men will men are the ones that initiate it because they need their ego stroked and they need their stuff stroked and they need their
not the fact that it exists now, but by virtue of the development of it was so that women could they find it easier in a lot of aspects to send a text message than get dragged into a phone conversation.
That's bullshit. You know why? A man did this because they didn't want to hear a woman explain everything in complete detail, and they just wanted it in like two or three sentence forms.
If texting went away...
Jesus Christ, we'd be dead.
I don't think men would give a shit.
Oh, yes, they would, because that would require them to have to get on the phone and actually listen to...
Where you at?
They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that crap.
Where you at?
They don't want to hear it.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes. We're in the comfy confines of Radio Memphis here in the studio. Dirty D is with me, and we're brewing coffee.
We're trying to.
For the second attempt on a brand new coffee pot.
Look.
That just jizzed all over the floor.
And properly so, because it's chock-a-nuts.
Chock full of nuts.
Chock full of nuts. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the morning guy's coffee. When he finds out that we've already gone through half of his can, which is brand new.
I'm gonna stop by tonight. I'm going to get another can to bring by tomorrow so he doesn't notice.
New York's coffee since 1932. The heavenly coffee. It's the original.
It smells awesome.
It does. It smells good. And it tastes great, too. I'm a fan of the Café du Monde.
I know you are.
But this has a very similar flavor to it. I mean,
it is. The one that you like to drink actually has a stronger vibe to it.
It's the chicory that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's naturally sweeter.
Yes.
Because I like my coffee like I like my women.
Stop.
Bitter.
Stop.
With a shot of cream.
You're an ass.
Yes, I am.
That's wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just the way it goes. No, I'm glad you could sit down with us and be a part of the Radioland broadcast.
Thank you.
The show, if you will. Not really a broadcast. It's a podcast.
Okay.
But we have some fun with it, and we've had a large time with it so far. I made a stab at last time of actually describing how many subscribers we've got, and this thing comes out 2 weeks after we produce it, so
right.
The world could fall apart between now and then, so I'm not even going to mention it.
That's okay.
But I can say this, that we're officially on Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And we're officially on TuneIn,
wow.
Which is a great little app that has radio stations,
yes,
and podcasts. And what's really cool about TuneIn is there was a problem with Radio Memphis being on there.
Okay.
Because it went back to this other hump that has the other radio.
I forgot all about that.
Right.
I'm sorry. I forgot that. I didn't forget. It just doesn't exist to me, but okay.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't really exist.
Right.
And it's... Memphis Soul Review is the name of his radio station.
Okay.
But he signed everything off as Radio Memphis. So I got a hold of TuneIn. I said, it won't let me do this because the name's Radio Memphis. The
right.
words Radio Memphis were already taken. And as a result, I can't get my signal up there.
But we are Radio Memphis.
And his link on TuneIn didn't work. He had abandoned it.
And he's doing a disservice to everybody else.
Right. Okay. So I got a hold of the guys at TuneIn, sent them the information. Boom. We're broadcasting.
That's why it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So in the middle of all that, the podcast is now available up there. So it's Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn.
Very cool.
The four major networks for that.
Very cool. I know, and everybody's enjoying listening in and to all the craziness and stuff that's going on.
Well, it's fun because it's giving folks an inside look at how the business sort of operates. Maybe how in theory it's supposed to operate. That's part of the problem, I guess.
You probably want to give them an insight on some of the craziness and the shit that goes through your head and, you know, the do's and don'ts. Not that there's even a list for that, but damn.
Well, yeah, because when we built Radio Memphis, the idea was to incorporate what was good about terrestrial radio in its day.
Mm-hmm.
And apply that to just newer technology, which we've been successful in that for mm-hmm. the most part.
We have, and we're still growing. We're still adding things. We're still creating things, you know, to make that shift. And, you know, I know I'm watching that coffee pot, man.
I looked at it making noises. I thought, oh, God.
It's
doing good now.
Okay. You know, it was on sale. It was on clearance.
There may have been a reason for that.
No. Even though it was the only one. Just, you know, no.
No, it's fine. It'll do fine.
All right.
And it's bigger than the other ones.
I mean, I technically really, really bought that for the morning guy.
Yeah, because he mainlines coffee.
Well, and I'm okay with that. I support it.
But see, that's one of the traditional things about radio. Okay, there's this romantic vision that people have in their heads about what occurs in a radio station.
Jesus Christ, you have no idea, and it's not what you think.
And there's the whole, it's the best way to describe it is the cover of the Nightfly album from Donald Fagen. And it's him with his hair slicked back, and there's a clipboard hanging on the wall, and he's sitting next to this turntable, and there's an ashtray full of butts, and he's got a coffee cup. And he's the Nightfly is about a nighttime jock.
Sure.
And he's drinking coffee and he's dealing with the idiots that call in. And there's that romanticism to that.
Right.
And to a certain extent, that does exist.
Well, you pretty much described, you know, some of the scenery that goes on as far as while somebody may be working for a minute. Yeah.
We've got clipboards hanging on the walls. There's ashtrays full of butts out on the back thing out there because we just don't need to be smoking in here for the sake of the equipment and the other people that live here, apparently.
Okay.
And, which is fine. But we do find ourselves going through coffee and beer mm-hmm. and wine and liquor
and stuff.
Yeah, it's stuff. And that happens. It happens with especially a rock radio station. But having said that, that romanticism, I think, affects a lot of people when they first, and you've seen this firsthand, when they come in here and they've never really got it until they stepped in and they see it, and then all of a sudden they watch it happen.
Right.
And then they go, wow, this is incredible. This is happening. And then 5 minutes later, it's the most boring room on the planet.
They don't realize that. They don't realize all the work that goes into, you know, making a lot of this happen. It's not just coming in, cracking a mic and you know, rattling off, you know, world news and rattling off, you know, what you saw, you know, coming down Lamar and, you know, all this other bullshit. You know,
no.
And it's not what they think. You know, it wasn't what I thought. I mean, shit, I fought you on this bullshit.
Yeah, you did. You fought me tooth and nail on every last detail.
I fought you on working here.
Yeah. But it worked out.
Yeah.
It really did. It worked out because those that have fought it and succumbed to it by their own volition, which you did. All I did was just talk you into it. You openly.
God, you were such an ass about it.
Well, of course I was, because I'd like to think that I have kind of an idea of what I think sounds good.
And I appreciate that.
And what would be beneficial for the station as a whole.
Right.
And making those decisions is not always the easiest thing to do.
No, the deal was that we were supposed to, I was going to work maybe one or two events, you know, in the field, you know, be at a show or play with bumper stickers. And that was maybe twice a month because I had shit going on and I wasn't going to do more than that.
But you got into it, though, and you went...
5 days into it, you made me the promotions director.
Well, yeah, but you also were getting into it going, oh, hell no, y'all are effing this all up. This, you need to do this. I'll screw it. I'll do it myself. Go sit out over there. One of those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it was like, okay, great. I need help. And you came in to fill that void that we needed.
And it
has mushroomed into keeping things in line around here. And we've had this discussion in the very beginning.
Okay.
And we haven't mentioned it since then about one of the problems in radio.
The communication.
That people that work in this business are horrible about communication.
And I tell you what, to no motherfucking end, that pissed me off. And it was What do you mean you haven't talked? What do you mean you haven't? What do you mean you haven't told him? What do you mean that you guys don't know what's going on? Have you called him today? Well, no. What do you mean? You know, and I could never get that. You know, and I even had to condition you. You know, it was, yeah. I called you on first smoke break during my day job. Uh-huh. I called you at lunch. Uh-huh. I called you when I got off work. And, you know, I called you right before we went to bed. I was like, what happened? Okay, what's going on? What are we doing?
What did you fuck up now, Rick?
I did not say that.
No, not directly, but there were. I could hear it in the tone of your voice. Are you sure this is what's happening? Are you sure this is what's going to happen? And there was that on mine. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, and look, you know, you created, you know, what you did not realize at that time. Maybe you created a fucking monster, and you know we don't even know how big this is.
No,
even to this at this point.
No, we don't. I freely admit that.
Yeah, and
some of that is by my own choice.
What?
There's a method to that, and the reason being is that if the studio,
you're going to sit there and actually explain a method that what it sounds like to me is that you're ignoring, not wanting to pay attention to, because you're what?
No, I'm not ignoring. There are certain things. Did you need like a stir for the?
You know, I need one more of these.
One more, okay.
And I need one sweet. Okay, I got a sweet one.
That's awesome.
I just want one. Goddamn. We ain't got to be, you know, but that proactive about shit.
You need a stir stick. You need the pencil is what you need.
I got a pen or something. We're trying to make this work and stuff. Yeah, Doc, man, I am drinking all your fucking shit. I got to buy that.
His turn in the hot seat is coming, so.
Oh, my God. And that's going to, you guys are so going to be.
Oh, that's, he's an entertaining.
Enthralled, player. You know, with him. Absolutely.
But now what I talk about, and I've mentioned this before on this podcast, is that the studio itself becomes a fishbowl.
Yes.
And our view from the perspective of the fish is that the world's a bit distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You think of, when you look at things like numbers and you look at things like the presence of how, you know, what we send out and what's bouncing back to us.
Right.
There's a sense of that the world is a lot smaller than what it really is. And I almost feel more comfortable with that.
Okay.
If I sit here in the room, or even like doing this little dog and pony show, and you don't really think so much about the numbers of subscribers in that you, because right now I don't think about the fact that there may be 10,000 people that are listening to this.
Man, I don't give a rat's ass about that. Man, dude, we're sitting here hanging out and having a conversation.
Right, we're having a conversation. We're inviting other people in, but that's the basis of what goes on the air here.
Yes.
It's not as though there's 1,000 faces pressed up against the glass looking in.
Mm-mm.
But when it does come back,
mm-hmm.
when there is that, you're in a grocery store and somebody calls you out by name,
right?
And they mention what you do.
It's amazing.
It is, you know, it's a very humbling experience.
No,
of course.
It's extremely, yes.
And you do find yourself being somewhat taken aback by this, especially when you come back in here and you're away from it now,
right?
And
that moment always happens, man. You know, like Saturday morning or Sunday morning, you know, right. after we've had like a long show or we've done a live show out or something, or, mm-hmm. you know, we just, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning before we lay our heads down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to throw my hat on. I'm like, I don't have shit on. I look like fucking ass. And it's always that, hey, Dirty D. And I'm like,
oh, hell.
Who? No.
No.
I don't know. I don't speak no English. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, throw that card out. Yeah, might as well. Well, you know, there's a price for that. I thought my phone went off. There is a price for that kind, yes. of notoriety. And what that boils down to in some aspects is, by analogy, when I was in television news.
Right.
Television is such a different animal because they see you constantly.
Yes.
And they feel like they, that, you
By
know,
the way, yeah, I've seen those pics too.
Oh, I know, dude. It's, you know,
it was a long time ago
in a galaxy fucking, far, far away.
You were such a geek. That was awesome.
Yeah, and that was all by design. That's what's really
cool. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
That was your look.
That was designed. It was.
They told you to wear that hairdo?
Yes.
No, they did not.
Yes. Oh, I had more product in my hair than Kate Moss.
they made you look like that.
Yes, because that is what sells the credibility of a television news anchor.
Uh-huh.
So what would happen? I know, it's
just, I'm sorry.
And it is. And then there would be, you know, especially when you're doing like Monday through Friday and you're doing the 6 and 10 o'clock news, you're in people's living rooms for an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They get to know you. They feel as though
your friends or family.
Yeah.
Yes.
That you know, and then you get the crazies that go, he was talking specifically to me.
Of course it was.
Oh, and it happens. Mm-hmm. But what's really bizarre is when you go back out of that studio, right, which it's the fishbowl thing, and you're out and say at a grocery store.
Right.
And I'm not. I don't have the makeup on. I don't have the hair done. I'm not wearing the coat and tie.
Right.
I don't have the trappings of that. And I'm pushing my cart through the store.
Sure.
And people walk up to you, and they want to talk to you about what you talked about on the news the other night.
No, they don't. They want to look in your grocery cart to see what.
That's
the hell
exactly what they did, and they go, he buys toilet paper. Well, yes, I wipe my ass like everybody else does.
What are you supposed to do, right?
Or when you go to you're at a restaurant and you're having dinner with friends, and people will just blindly come up to you in the middle of your, got a mouthful of meat.
Right.
And they're going to say, hey, can you sign this? And you want to go, get the fuck out of here. But you don't.
No,
you got the little ladies that, you know, they like.
Man, you're bitter.
A little bit, yes.
You're fucking bitter as hell. Dude, no.
But all right. What's amusing is when you, and this is where I've had a lot of fun with it, when the little ladies would come up and they go, you know, you have like these great suits that you wear and all this stuff. And I was like, honey, and I like to tell the story that in the summertime, it got so fucking hot in those studios.
Right.
That I wasn't wearing pants.
What?
I was wearing shorts. Okay. And I just was TV guy from the waist up.
Okay.
Dress shirt and tie and a coat.
Yeah.
And the hair. And then you'd sit on the back of the coat to pull the lines down.
Right.
So you look smooth. I was barefoot. I was wearing shorts.
Well, they didn't know that.
But I'd like to. I shattered that image a couple of times. That desk is hiding a lot more than it meets the eye. And in fact, we used to do these things. After the 6 o'clock news, as soon as we were done with the show,
right,
and it went on to Jeopardy or whatever was on TV at 6:30, we would record these little 5 second deals,
mm-hmm,
for the 10 o'clock news that the producers would write, and it would be something like. To put it in more of a current context, the president speaks out about the missing airlines jet tonight at 10, you know, that kind of thing. And a lot of times it would be one from me, one from my co-anchor, and the weather guy would do one, and the sports guy would do one.
Okay.
And the weather guy would say something like, you know, hey, our chances of rain look pretty good for the weekend. We'll have more tonight at 10.
Sure.
And they would have the logos and stuff. But a lot of times we would horse around and play jokes on the director by laying out something that is totally comedic and that would never air.
Of course.
And one of the things that I did was, I'm not wearing any pants. I'll prove it tonight at 10. And they used to keep those and they'd add them to the blooper reels and it would never go on the air.
Of course, until?
Until a very unfortunate incident that occurred with a weatherman. He was horsing around and the director wasn't paying attention.
Oh, no.
And the director gives the command through the headphones to the floor director. And he's like, all right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And he goes, the rain's like an old whore. Just keeps on a-coming. I'll have more tonight at 10.
And airs.
And it got tagged, and it went into the production roll, and it hit the air.
Oh.
Oh, it was.
Shit.
It was big. It was. And this guy's like 65 years old at the time. He's probably dead now. But but that happened.
Damn. Come on. Have some respect.
I didn't say it. I was laughing my ass off. I thought it was hilarious. So I'm sitting in the break room having a cup of coffee before the 10 o'clock, and I had the TV on in there, and one of those came up there, and it was him.
Right.
And I went, oh, shit. So I haul ass up to the main control room, and the engineer running the main board up there, he looks at me and he goes, did that just happen? And I said, unfortunately, it did. Well, all of a sudden, the phones start lighting up.
Of course they did.
It was so bad that an official apology had to be made.
Of course.
This poor guy nearly lost his job over the whole thing.
He didn't?
No, he didn't lose his job. The station bought an ad in the paper to apologize.
Okay.
The next rating period, yeah, our numbers skyrocketed.
Of course they did.
That's why they didn't fire him. And he was just a sweet old, he was like an ex-Navy guy. He was a meteorologist, but he, we were all having some fun, and that was the way it was laid out. So that put the end to having fun in the studio.
Oh, see.
And it wasn't really, well, I guess technically it was our fault because it came out of your mouth. There's an old thing in this business. If there's a microphone around, watch your fucking mouth.
I try.
I do too, but this is different, see. It says explicit on the podcast.
Yeah, so, you know. And thank God. You know, otherwise I couldn't have been your guest.
Well, that's why I labeled it. When I built it, I did it like that way intentionally because I knew you were going to be on.
Oh,
here.
You asshole.
Hey, the second episode, my, which, you know, you weren't too potty mouthed.
No, I was not. I was.
It actually, was Doug.
It was about. It was all about Doug. I just happened
to
be hanging out.
And it was Doug in his mouth. But no, it goes back to the romanticism of the business in that it's not all fun and games. For the most part, it is. I think.
No, it is. I mean, because we enjoy what we do, and we enjoy the product and everything, you know, that we are trying to put together, and we enjoy the people and the artists and stuff that we promote. You know, I have fun, you know, with that. I have fun getting in, you know, with the people that are participating, you know, especially when we do our shows and stuff like that. I don't think. I know you enjoy it, but I know you hate people, which kind of bothers me.
Well, let me explain.
No, fuck that. You hate.
I hate people in a collective sense. Individuals, I love to death.
Yeah.
But the mob, if you will, the mob mentality.
Yeah.
I have issues with, and that's
why?
That's my own shortfall right there.
What's wrong?
And
with
I admit. Because I'm intimidated by it.
Why? They want to, you know, they want to talk to you. They want to hang out and be part of the experience and stuff.
I don't mind that. I want to, you know, step outside, have a smoke with me. We'll have a quick drink together. I let people buy me a drink. I'll buy them a drink. It's great. It's fine. It's one-on-one, and I can relate in that aspect. I don't mind answering questions, but mm-hmm. It's when you're dealing with a lot of people at one particular time.
Look, I mean, you're getting all, like, flustered and red and talking about it.
I know, because I should be in therapy for it, quite frankly.
I mean, I'm serious.
But this is part of my therapy is what we're doing right now.
All right, but, you know, damn, Rick.
What was it? I did an episode of Flying Solo and the Fear of Public Speaking. It was about me. I have I have a fear of public speaking.
What?
I do. I've always had it. I've had it since I was a little bitty kid.
So we get on stage and we're bringing people. You got a problem with all that?
No, I've gotten better at controlling it, but I don't go into like panic attacks or anything like that. But
yeah.
But there's that, oh God, what am I going to say? And then so I put myself in the position of being in the studio with the mic, and I know the song is ending and I've got to say something, so I'll say something. And it's like with this, I don't script any of this. I can't even really prepare for it. Unless I'm doing like an interview with somebody of big note, I'm going to prepare a little bit.
Of course.
But up on stage, it's a different animal. Because it's a lot of it is that I can see those people, and on their faces are the words, entertain me.
Well, yeah. What's wrong with that? What the fuck did you get in the business for?
Because I guess it really boils down to my abject fear of falling on my face. Now, you're not anybody that you've bombed on stage in this business.
Well, yeah.
And Lord knows I've done it enough times, but I've also had great nights where it was just, you know, I felt like I had the thing in the palm of my hand and it felt good.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But when you step off the stage,
right.
There's the shakes, there's the, you know, it's like being that close to a supernova, you know, it's an exhilarating feeling.
Sure.
But there is that fear that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do something or say something that's just going to be completely wrong. And they're going to look at that ass.
I can understand that. The only time that I've ever had
a fear of failure.
The only time I've ever had that kind of deal in the same, you know, scenarios that we're talking about would be when I sang. I can understand that.
Oh, I can totally relate to that because that's the one thing I will never do.
Why not?
Because I can't sing. It's like
everybody can sing. Gene, everybody can sing.
In theory.
Fuck you. Everybody can sing.
I can sing. I'm just not good at it enough to display it.
Sure you are. It just depends on what style, what type, what the premise is of a song. You know, it just depends on what's going on. You know, your voice is meant to do that.
Nobody wants to hear me sing.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Oh, I do.
Well,
I'm so, oh, hell
it
yeah.
It ain't happening. No, it's not happening.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, it depends. Because I'll quantify that by saying it depends on how much I've had to drink.
Okay.
Because that inhibition wall does come down.
That's how it starts, okay.
Of course it starts
all
that
right.
way.
So,
but if
all
you
right,
can
well,
ask
right.
me to go on stage sober and do it, you're out of your fucking mind.
Okay.
That'll never happen.
What's a song you would sing if we're drunk?
Well, nothing in the classic rock library, for God's sake, because I'm sick of that.
All right.
There's a couple, maybe some blues tunes, maybe a country song. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. But nothing else. Unless there was something I heard. Hey, I know that tune. I'd be singing along. You know, hell, I'm the guy that's at a birthday party that won't sing happy birthday with everybody. I mouth it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm that guy.
I'm going to remember that. Because
if there's like 12 or 15 people and all singing, and they bring their cake out and it's burning and shit, and and all singing happy birthday and all that stuff, I would sit there and go, that's exactly what I do.
Oh, no. I get it. You know, it's one of those, one of the reasons why I love what we do. As far as the music end of it, you know, the original unsigned and indie artists that we play, it just amazes me how talented everybody is. It amazes me how they are able to, from start to finish, create a thought, make it into sound, make it into music, have lyrics, have words.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And go straight with it. I am not that original person, and I can't tell you how many times I've tried to explain this. Now, can I sing the shit out of somebody else's stuff? All goddamn day, man. Sure would.
Right.
I'm just not that original person. And, you know, I listen to everybody and I listen to all the different music, you know, all the different, you know, styles and stuff that we play. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, these fuckers are amazing.
Well, that's just it. You know, I hear, I'll sit here sometimes late at night when I'm working on stuff and I'll have the radio station playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of monitoring it and just, you know, checking the feel of it.
Sure.
You know. And it'll catch me that, you know, hey, there's some really, really good stuff in here. I'm not a huge fan of some of the music.
Mm-hmm.
As who would be?
Right.
No one's a fan of all of it.
No.
They're a fan of certain styles. There are some styles, like, for example, your metal show.
Go ahead, say it.
There's some of it that is actually very, that's appealing to me, that I get it.
Okay.
And then there's some of it, it's like, what the hell is this? You people need Jesus.
Waiting for
Well, but that doesn't take away from the simple fact that I have an appreciation for the amount of work and talent it goes into creating that kind of thing.
And that's my thing, is
it's just not my particular style.
I would give anything to be that talented. You know, now just that part alone, now just getting up there to even just sing somebody else's shit, you know, if you get that moment and you're in front of everybody and it's right, and I have this thing and it's really fucked up, I know when I'm on target. I know when I've got that note right. And all of a sudden, the room fucking blacks out. I don't see shit 2 feet in front of the microphone. And it's like a tuning fork. I shit you not. My right leg starts vibrating. It is the most fucked up thing. To the point where I almost...
Elvis did the same thing.
To the point where I feel like I almost have to start paying attention. Because if I don't, man, I'm going to fucking lose balance and fall the fuck over.
Right.
You know, and get in that moment. And I think to myself, you know, I enjoy music that much. I can't imagine what it would feel like for these guys that create it from start to finish.
Well, yeah, think about it. It's one thing, like you said, to sing somebody else's music, and there's a basis of comfort knowing that that song was good enough to be covered.
Yes.
However, if you have sat down and you've written something that is out of your soul, out of your head.
Correct.
And you stand up there and you sing that.
Correct. I had a buddy.
That's unzipping the fly and laying it all out there.
All right. I'm down.
Damn.
All right. they call me Dirty Dude.
What
the fuck you want from me? I had a buddy that wrote a song or actually, you know, put some stuff down on a guitar and sent it to me. And he was like, hey, it's yours. You know, this is yours. This is your song. Whatever you want to come up with lyrics, you want to come up with a melody, you want to do whatever, it's yours. And I'm sitting there going, I can't do this. I can't even, nothing's even coming to my fucking brain right now. And I sat there and I have listened to this damn tune, I shit you not, man, for the whole fucking week this week going,
So somebody gave you a melody?
An actual song.
An instrumental, but they're asking you to apply lyrics to it.
Lyrics, and they were like, this is yours. Do whatever the fuck you want with it. I'm like, I can't even do that.
Okay, well, here's
God damn.
There's part of the problem is this.
Hmm.
A lot of music is written lyrically first and then applied melodies and stuff to said lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You've been given a task that's backwards.
Most of the fuckers I know can do that, though.
Well, they have a natural ability to that. There's nothing against you. It's just
you're
not a songwriter.
No, I'm not.
But see, neither was Jim Morrison. He was a poet.
You know, I need a songwriter. I do.
Then apply here.
I just, you know.
D has a melody and she needs some lyrics to it. But see, that's just it. I have no knowledge. I've never written music like that. I don't get it.
Right.
But I would think that you would want to start off with the message that you want. You are told as a writer to write about the things that you know.
Yes.
The things that you feel. The things that are inside of you. Write that out.
Mm-hmm.
Then adapt that to the melody that you have to work with.
I was also told, to carry around a notebook. And if a line were to flutter in my head, even if it's just one line,
write
all these different one lines and eventually, you know, smash them all together over a course of time and see if you can come out with a song.
Right.
All right.
That's one way of looking at it, I suppose.
Now, what's really cool, because of what we do here and because of the artists and stuff that we play, you and I have talked about this, you know, in reference to some of the other things that we're starting to get into. That, of course, we're not going to mention at this time.
Well, because it's going to be 2 weeks from now.
Well, I understand that.
When this goes live,
other shit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The predictions of music industry and things like that were coming up. You know, these guys, you know, bigger industry are looking at unsigned, are looking at indie artists.
Well, yeah, the way it should have been.
The entire time.
And to a certain extent, I guess back in the early days of rock and roll in the late 50s, it was that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was such a demand for rock music that that's why there were so many one-hit wonders that came out in the 60s.
Sure.
Because there were so many of these kids out there that had an idea of what they wanted to perform and what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came up with a tune and out it went when the Louie by the... Oh, God damn it. That's actually a cover tune of another song.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't even have mentioned it now because there's people screaming at me or screaming at their device going, it was these guys.
Okay, it's all right. It's cool.
Anyway, when that came out, that was their only real hit.
Right.
And it was recorded in a bathroom. It was recorded in a garage with one microphone inside of a wash tub that was suspended from the ceiling. And all the guys were standing around it and they played into that microphone and sang into it.
Love it. I tell you what, man, the shower is the best place to sing.
Well, the acoustics are great in there.
They're wonderful. And that's my thing, though. With all of this attention and, you know, and even bringing all that, you know, shit up about, you know, the industry and stuff and what they're paying attention to, it's you know, I'm excited. I'm glad that we do what we do. And at the same time, I'm like, man, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had, like, even just a fucking pinky's worth of that talent.
Right.
You know?
But there are people that look at what you and I do every day.
Geez, what? Talk and yap?
But there's a certain gift to that. There really is.
Right.
I mean, you have to know, you know, not that I'm displaying it in this particular episode, but when you come into a broadcast and that mic is hot and you're talking to all of these people or potential people.
Sure.
You need to sound like you kind of know what you're talking about. That's why Doug, to me, is one of the most fascinating humans on the planet.
Oh, brother Doug, man.
And he can bullshit his way through anything.
Absolutely.
And
has.
He may not be an expert on all topics, but he's a master of it.
Yes.
He can, you know, if you wanted to talk about nuclear fission.
And he could fucking make it happen.
It may not be accurate or right, but nobody gives a shit because he's filling the time. Back when we carried hockey games here.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh,
jeez.
The intermissions, there's two intermissions in a hockey game.
Right.
They're 15 minutes long.
Right.
They hung him out to dry one night. They didn't fill the time. They said, we'll be back. And they never came back. Doug was left holding the bag, and he spoke on that mic by himself, not using another soul. And he filled that time for 15 minutes, and he did it by pulling up hockey scores from around the planet. He was talking about other things that were happening at Radio Memphis, and he broke into other sports news. And he sat there and watched that clock, and he filled it and calmly went through that time as though he had scripted every moment of it. That is a talent.
Yes, it is.
That not many people have, and it's one of those things you cannot train people for.
No.
You can't teach that.
Mm-mm.
It's either you got it or you don't.
Right.
So when you fought me about getting on the air.
You know, pissed me off about that shit too, man, because I sure as shit didn't want to do it. And I'll never forget, you know, when we finally went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth about it, not only did I not want to do that, just to even sit in and sit shotgun on shit, you know, the last goddamn thing I wanted to do was actually have my own show. Oh, fuck you.
Well, you're not doing it by yourself.
I understand that. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Well, okay. Yes, you got a point there.
Okay, right? I mean,
geez. That big dumb bastard.
Hey, yeah, I love the beast. Look.
We all love the beast. But there are times when you are doing that by yourself, and it does happen. Hell, I did it. I did a midday and afternoon show by myself for the longest time.
Yes, you did.
And even when I was at, you know, on terrestrial, I did a morning drive show by myself a lot of times, not by my own design.
Right.
But my partner was laid up in a hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
One time, he had the headphones on. He fell asleep.
Oh.
And he began to snore.
Yeah.
Because the chemo had got to him. Well, I'm going to tell that whole story at another episode of the podcast. Not now. But
But
he began to snore. And Doug and I were, we were live on the air. I went, hey, shut up. And I had some background music. And I pulled everything off the air. And we were dead air for a minute. And I said, listen. And he hears.
Oh.
I said, he done passed out. So we start screaming. Trying to wake his ass up. He was just gone.
He wasn't going to hear it.
He passed out completely. So we did our thing, and I went off into something, and on the back channel, you could hear him just sawing logs, and it was like a couple of breaks. Well, ultimately, he woke up.
Oh, geez.
He goes, did I just fall asleep? And I went, yep, welcome back, dog.
How you doing?
How you doing? Oh, my God, I've been asleep for an hour, you know, but... You know, going back to it, when I came to you with doing the show,
yes,
and putting you on air,
yes,
and it was because that it wasn't solely because you fought me on it. It was because that you weren't seduced by it.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm still not.
I'm not either. I never have been.
Mm-mm.
When I got into the business, I loved the idea of what it was about.
Right.
And when I went through some of my training as far as the technical aspects of it and being able, you know, there's certain things that you do when you're on air.
Sure.
And when somebody tells you, hey, you know, you've got it down. Do this, do that. You know, make sure you read these liners. Make sure you do this. This is how we do it at this station. You know, we do a time check here. But you get those elements down.
Right.
Then you go back and you start critiquing that. And then you realize that your speech is a little more powerful. And it's not a matter of having a good voice or not. There are people that have horrible voices that do well on air.
Absolutely.
You get a lot of compliments for how good you sound on the air. My wife loves you to death. It's just why she'll be listening to this going, oh, my God, she sounds incredible.
Aww.
She does. She loves it. The language, she giggles at. But
well, I'm actually being very cool and very tame for normal.
What, now? If I had a counter for every...
Look.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I try. It's the beast.
It's me, too. We've all driven you to it.
Nah, damn, you're not right. I mean,
see, there it goes.
Right.
Well, and here's the thing. Our morning guy, Doc, since he has been here at Radio Memphis,
yes,
has been offered several jobs in terrestrial radio.
Yes, he has.
Rightfully so. He's good at what he does.
He is very good at what he does. And I have so enjoyed... having him here, you know, especially in the morning and stuff like that.
He's awesome. And being the radio vet that he is, he gets it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he said he'll never go back to terrestrial because he'd have to put that filter back into place.
Mm-mm.
And that's a hard hat to put back on if you're used to just being able to say whatever fucking comes to your head. You know, see, that was a forced, you know, example.
Exactly. You know, my biggest thing, it's not so much being on air as it is being able to go, I have the opportunity to play so-and-so's music. I have the opportunity to talk about it. And I love that part of it. You know?
Well, yeah. And to be fair, the seduction of the microphone, when I mention that, is it's being that person who loves the attention. Okay?
Right.
It's the stardom feel of it. And why anybody
wants... Go ahead and say starfucker.
No, that's different. That's somebody who wants to be around it.
That's true.
That want to be your friend because of what you do.
Yeah.
And we all know a lot of people that are like that. And there's a ton of them out there. But being seduced by the microphone is the me, me, me thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's a way to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, once you get into the reality that the power that you wield when you're sitting in that seat and the headphones are on,
right,
and you've got a mic going and you've commanded the attention of people, that power can be seductive in a good way. It can also be incredibly terrifying. And that's what happens to me. That's where my fear of public speaking comes from, is because you've now commanded their attention. Now say it. Say what you have to say.
Right.
Do I mask it pretty well? I'd like to think I do.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. Shit.
That's why a lot of times if I'm going to be on stage for any length of time, before I even go out there, I got to have like one good cocktail to help settle me down for a second and slow my head down. I have ADD as bad as the beast, but it's just a matter of dealing with it.
And I don't know, really, because the beast is it's pretty bad.
Well, there's a lot of other factors that go with the beast.
I know. He came with a box of toys.
But being ADD is not a handicap by any means.
No.
It's being able to cope with it.
Right.
That's the ability, and that's the perfect.
Every fucking last one damn of you here, man,'s got some kind of like.
But that's what makes it work. Everybody in this business has a certain bit of that, and you have to, because look at this thing. We've gone through what 50 different topics, going back and forth and back and here and there, and that's what you know. That's how people talk. If you sit in a bar long enough and you hear somebody having an animated conversation, you kind of get sucked into it. That's exactly how things go. That's all this is.
I don't have ADD.
Not to the extent. I think everybody has a certain attention deficit disorder because, and it's not, I hate that term disorder, because we now live in a time where you're almost forced to think like that.
Right.
With on demand,
mm-hmm.
with television redefining the way we think. You go to a
movie. All the visuals that you're getting anyway.
You go to a movie nowadays, you go catch a brand new blockbuster film. And then later you watch a film from, say, the 70s on your television.
Right.
There's a massive difference by the way they were written and shot and done. You had to be a very patient person to get through a movie from the 70s.
Yes.
And to a certain extent, the 80s, that like the first Star Trek movie in 1977. God, what a shit fest that was.
It was.
And even the actors admit it.
They did.
And it went on and on.
Star Wars, man, came through. It didn't matter.
Star Wars came along and it moved kind of slow, because if you look back at it in retrospect, it's a vastly different film than the episodes 1, 2, and 3 that had come out
right
fairly recently. So there, because people have a shorter attention, people want to glom onto the action.
Right.
We are forced into that thinking. There, how many times when you go through when you're reading stuff on the internet, let's say an article, and it gets kind of long and wordy. Next, move along.
Well, everybody's not reading shit anymore either.
Yeah, but that includes even the most patient of people.
Yes.
That's why there's the little thing, and I've learned what this was. I kind of feel like such a Luddite. TL semicolon DR.
Hmm?
You ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
TL semicolon DR.
Mm-hmm.
Too long, didn't read.
You'll see that in
comment sections of stories.
Okay.
So pardon me, TLDR. And there are long form articles that are on the web, and they do fairly well with it. But there's a lot of times you'll see a headline, and that's the whole story, and then they'll do like 4 or 5 paragraphs,
and that's it.
But the headline told you everything you needed to know. I've gotten away on air of not getting into stories and stuff that's already out there.
Right.
I'll mention in passing.
That's where it's supposed to be, though.
And there's that. This is his, you know, and you keep it moving because people don't. Hell, even television news here of late has done that. Instead of being 14, 15 elements in the main news thing, they're doing 30, 35, 40, and everything's the same thing. Go back to soandso.com for more.
Exactly, and that's where it's all going. And, of course, you know, we figured that out.
It's all going. It's already there.
Well, I'm sorry. We've been saying that for so long because we've been sitting here waiting for everybody to catch up with us.
Well, yeah, and there's a cost to that. There's a price that has to be paid for that. And I think, unfortunately, is our ability to be disconnected. And I think that's part of the thing with society. We had a meeting earlier on the date this was recorded in a very interesting, heartfelt discussion about social media.
Yes.
And Twitter, as much as I love it, it's only 140 characters. You cannot get into a dissertation about dick on Twitter.
No. And, you know, and I understand all that. And, of course, you know, when we were talking about this earlier with everybody, I'm really trying, you know, I understand the whole Twitter thing.
Right.
I get it. It's all, you know, and yes.
I love it.
I know you do. And I just, you know.
There's a reason why I love it. It's Facebook without the Facebook. Because a person like me hates Facebook. I understand it. I use it.
Mm-hmm.
I embrace it.
I know.
But it's a, okay, love me, love me, love me, now go away.
What's wrong with that?
because I don't know. I guess it's the ancillary bullshit that goes along with it.
Yeah.
The way
Oh, I get it, because you got to develop a relationship with somebody.
Not necessarily. I have X number of friends on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
99.99% of these people, I have no fucking idea who they are.
Well, why don't you get to know them and like talk to them and say hey and shit?
I don't have time for that.
What? Yes, you fucking do. You got plenty of fucking time. I've seen your shit, motherfucker. No.
I don't have time.
Yes, you do.
To develop an internet relationship with a complete stranger that could give two shits about what I have to think about that.
They could give two shits if you fucking just took some time and made maybe a relationship with them. You don't know who you... It's like we've always said. You don't know who you might be talking to.
Oh, no, I know.
Oh, fuck you. No, you don't. No, you don't.
I know what they are on Facebook, but right. That's not... It's funny because you see their like their profile picture.
Right.
And then when you finally meet them and they go, hey, we're friends on Facebook. And I go, oh, you. Oh, that picture doesn't do you any justice, dude. You know.
Damn.
Or, you know, gee, honey, you must like ho-hos. You know?
No, stop. Oh, my God. But the whole point is that you're such a... Tick.
Sorry, ma'am, I don't have a Twinkie for you, but I'll entertain you for a moment.
No, you didn't. Ha, ha. Brother, in that picture, man, you filled those britches out in the front just a little more. What happened? Right.
Well, exactly. It's, you know, sight unseen. And that's just it. Because
But look, I mean, you know, the whole part about, you know, interacting and stuff. And I'm not saying you got to know when their birthday is and fucking send them goddamn flowers.
I don't have to. It tells me already whose birthday is.
Exactly. See?
But my birthday is not up there because I chose not to put it there.
Okay.
I don't want happy birthday wishes from everybody. I know how old I am.
I love happy birthday. Man, my birthday,
I know,
my birthday is a holiday.
It is, the entire month of November.
What?
How I know that is because it's been hammered into my skull when you were born.
I
and that's great. I think that's fantastic. That, right. that's how you choose to celebrate your own existence.
Absolutely, man. It was the best damn thing. And apparently, I have a purpose here.
Well, of course you have a purpose. Everybody has a purpose, except for some. There's people that don't have any purpose at all. They need to be beaten within an inch of their lives. But
right,
that's. But that's a good example of how I feel sometimes.
God damn, you really hate fuckers.
Oh, yeah, those people, yeah.
You hate people, just people.
But see, I've always kept a... And I guess since I was... I in essence, grew up an only child. I've got a sister who's 10 years older than me.
Right.
So by the time I turned 8, she'd moved out of the house. So during my formative years, it was me and the cousins I couldn't stand.
Yeah.
And I had friends... In the neighborhood, I was the guy that got my ass kicked everywhere I turned around because I was the guy that took it, you know?
What?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know how to defend myself. I do now.
Shit. No, man.
But I was fine. You know, I'm fine going out into the backyard with a stick and a rock and entertaining myself.
No, I can't. Fuck that, man. It's a party. Everybody's involved. Of course, you know, I was the youngest of three. I'm the baby. And, you know, always had somebody up in my shit and up in my business. At all times.
I couldn't handle that.
Man, it's the best way to be.
That's why I hate Christmas.
And that's so sad. Look.
Really?
I know. I understand that. You know, and look, I love Christmas. Not because of the presents and not because of, you know, it's that, for me, it's that family. It's that everybody getting together. It's everybody loving on each other and stuff. It works.
I guess, yeah, okay, you had that right... experience. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I didn't. There was a lot of holidays that as a youngster it was the magic of it and it was great.
Sure. But I believe in fairy dust and all that shit too. I know, I get it.
But when the family came around and somebody got drunk and picked a fight with somebody at the dinner table because of this, that, and the other, and it's you know, when everybody leaves and it's somebody in my family going, well, thank God that's over with, and I'm thinking, wow.
We had those moments too. Don't get me wrong, man. Everybody throwing down and stuff.
Yeah, but every holiday, every excuse to get together turned into a melee of some sort.
Yeah. So
it's like, you know, where's Rick? Well, you know, he's over by the hiding behind the tree.
Mm-mm. You really are bitter.
I have right to be. I think. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Well,
too.
We're trying to change that, though.
I've warmed up to a lot.
Yeah,
I have. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I go out.
With a fire under your ass, man.
That's not that bad. Come on.
What? Yes, it is.
There are places I like going. There are things I like. You know, all the
Yeah, I give you credit for that. Yes, you do.
Most of the events that we get involved with, I like going.
Most of the events most we get involved with, you kind of have to go if we're involved.
Well, of course, yes. And I don't.
So that statement doesn't even fucking fly with me.
But that's okay. But, you know, I'm one of these people that I'll sit there and I'll, you know, I feel like I'm being dragged to it. But once I get there, I'm actually okay.
You are. And that's the funny thing about it is that you found out that you're going to wind up, you wind up having a great time.
I usually do, yeah.
And you talk with
despite
people.
Despite myself.
Hmm.
But it's not apologetic by any means.
None.
And I don't necessarily lose sleep over it either.
No, you don't.
You know, my wife calls me probably one of the most difficult people on the planet to be with.
You are.
And without a doubt. I freely admit that.
I'm just agreeing with
somebody
Joe.
Told me not long ago that I was a difficult person to be a friend with, and I said, you're right. That's why I have a small circle of friends.
We didn't have that problem. You and I didn't when we met.
Well, that's I think because you and I established ourselves more as family first.
Yeah.
You and I have had very loud discussions, if you will, spirited disagreement.
Man, dude, we went toe to toe. You ain't gotta make it all politically correct.
I wasn't making it politically correct. You know,
we went at it.
We did. You and I, not to the point of what Gary did. You threw an ashtray at him.
Ah, damn it!
I was lucky on that deal.
You know, I chunked that shit. I thought I put a hole in the wall, and yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was in the other room when it happened, and I remember Joseph said, "What the hell was that?" I thought, "Oh, something probably fell in here," you know. And I come in here, and you got your hands on your hips, and you had that look of like, "I'm going to kill a motherfucker right now. I'm going to cut him. I'm going to gut him like a fish." And he was, you know, had his back turned, and he walks out there, and I look, I said, "Are you all right?" And he looked like he had just been attacked. He's a big 7-foot Sasquatch looking son of a bitch. I'm like, what the hell did you do in here? What, you pissed her off, man.
I didn't know. What did I do?
No.
But see, that's just it. And the family atmosphere that has been cultivated by Radio Memphis,
yes,
is everything.
Yes.
It really is. And that is the backbone. That's why it exists in the form that it does.
Yes.
And because it's a family before anything else,
it is.
That's why we're going to have arguments.
And we have to. We have to.
And we're going to have disagreements.
Yes.
You get five people together, somebody's not going to, you're not going to agree with everything.
You can't.
There's no way. I've made very unpopular decisions in the past. That's no big deal. I freely admit that. I make mistakes. I'm perfectly human.
I've made mistakes too.
We've all done it. And it's, you know, my feeling about you know, the public at large, yeah, it's not correct. I'd freely admit that,
and I'm glad. I feel like we're having a breakthrough.
It's not a breakthrough.
Shut the fuck up. Come on, play with me, come on, Frick. Come on.
It goes back to when I was in therapy.
Oh my God.
I really was. Yeah.
I know.
But that was a whole different deal. When I was in therapy, and my therapist, he was a great dude. He said, "Don't you feel better about, you know, taking that load off by admitting all of this?" I said, "No, I feel like I just took a dump. But let's move along." He said, "Okay, you admit that you have these psychological issues." I said, "Yeah, I have them. I don't want any pills for it.
No.
I don't need that.
No, you don't.
I need to adjust the way that I think about things. I don't have a problem with that at all. Take me for what I am."
Right.
I'm not asking people to step aside. That's just wrong. That's not fair to them.
No, and you never were like that. I mean, I
never will be. But the only thing I guess if I would ask of anybody is just to be patient.
Yeah.
With somebody.
Well, like I said, you and I never had that. You know, we've never had that.
You never threw an ashtray at me either.
No, I didn't throw an ashtray.
Although I'm sure you thought it.
You know, I promise to God, I don't think I've ever. No. No, Beast made me that goddamn mad.
I'm shocked that my wife hasn't beat me within an inch of my life either, but she's not like that anyway. She's blown up at me a time or two, and rightfully so. I've deserved every moment of that. There's no two ways about that. And I freely admit I am wrong. That's how, you know, every day, my day starts when the first words I say to my wife when she's leaving for work is, "I'm sorry."
That's bad.
Well, I'm sorry that I've put her in this position to you know, have to deal with the things that she's dealing with. I mean, because let's be honest here, Radio Memphis exists in this home that she and I have made for ourselves.
Yes.
But we did that out of necessity. And she loves it.
No, she does.
She really does love it, she's and she wants supportive. The best for it. Yes.
And she knows that, you know, what we've actually been able to do and what you've actually created.
But she's working her tits off for it, too.
And she is.
And I've probably never said enough to her about how appreciative I think we all are, especially me. But at the same time, there's that, well, let's get it done now. Let's go now. That's right. The way she thinks. And so as a result, I become that mirror. I start reflecting that back. And then I feel like, you know, now I'm putting the pressure on everybody else. And, you know, without getting too deep into all of that, it's just there is an adaptation to your life that takes place when you get into any type of entertainment or show business.
Mm-hmm.
There really is, because
there is.
Collateral damage does occur.
Huge.
It's not, you know, people think that, hey, you get to step on a stage or you're on the air or you're doing whatever it is.
That is like maybe 1/20th of
if that of
the time along with everything else that comes with this. And, you know, now that we're even talking about it, and I'm reflecting back on a lot of things, you know, over the course of time since we've gotten started and all the craziness and all of the, I mean, dude.
Oh, yeah. When people ask about doing this, and they're the people that are either star fuckers or seduced by it, and when they understand exactly what it takes to get into all of this, and you say,
I just got a text from Doc. Oh, no, it's on Facebook. He goes, my Pop-Tarts better still be there. Fucker, I ain't touched the Pop-Tarts.
No, Pop-Tarts are still there.
Okay.
Now that he brings it up, though.
They don't look good.
Chocolate peanut butter. The word sacrifice is a huge thing for anybody that's doing this or starting their own business for that matter.
Correct.
And the things that we've all sacrificed as a group collectively. And I'm not talking money. Money comes and goes. That's just the way it is. That's life. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Even if you're working for somebody else, money comes and goes. But the sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of interpersonal relationships with others, the sacrifice of your friendships would fall into that. I mean, Lord knows we've all lost a lot of friends over this.
Yes, we have.
But we've gained a lot.
Yes, we have. We have. You know, the sense of
this, most of you people I hate, but, you know.
I hate, and we've proven that, because he fucking hates people. Just the craziness and stuff that has come along with everything that we've tried to do and all the different things that we've actually gotten involved with, you know, all in the name of, you know, putting our best foot forward, and all in the name of putting Radio Memphis's you know, name in people's mouths, has been, you know, intense. And a lot of people don't see that. They don't see the shit, you know, that we've gone through. And
they never will.
No.
We might discuss it in a form like this in a very casual sense, but I will certainly never go into detail about that.
No. I'll have to say, if I've ever been that fucking pissed, which obviously we've discussed one or two instances I have, under the circumstances of whatever it was, and the individual or individuals, you know, it would probably be because of, you know, we'll use Beast as an example, just because, you know, we brought up the ashtray thing. I absolutely, you know, love having Gary around. And, you know, for the one purpose of that, he truly tries to do good, and a lot of people don't necessarily see that on face value on some things, but, you know, his heart is in the right place, and I know that if I were to turn around, he'd have my back.
Without a doubt.
And that's, you know, that was the biggest thing, you know, the biggest thing for me, and to know that when I invest time into somebody, or I invest myself into something, you know, Radio Memphis, you know, my biggest thing is that I want the best for everybody involved. I want the best for what we've got going on. And it's not even for personal gain for us, because I feel a responsibility to artists, musicians, sponsors, clients, people that, you know, that buy, you know, advertising from our company. You know, I feel a responsibility to make sure that, you know, we deliver, you know, a great product, and that we represent everything correctly.
Right.
I don't understand. I mean, that's a pretty simple formula.
That's a very simple formula, and that's, in a way, sadly, too simplistic. But that's really a good way to – it's a good place to start.
Hmm.
One of the ideas that I try and maintain with the – and we all do it. It's the judgment of other individuals that work with us or have been associated with us in the past, and you have to make the determination if that individual has the best interest of the group in consideration of their decisions.
Right.
Don't worry about me. Don't kiss my ass.
I wouldn't.
Right. Unless you shouldn't.
I'm not.
But the best interest of the station or the collective as a whole. That's to me is key. And when you come across individuals and you go, I don't know that that's necessarily true in this particular case, then it becomes an easier thing to go, well, okay, I need to make this separation of this idea.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And it's not pleasant to have to do that, but you do when you go through life.
It sucks. Look, and, you know, truth be known, you know, we obviously believe that, you know, we believe in the whole karma thing and, you know, do right, you know, onto others and all that bullshit. You know, got a mother money.
All
here.
That bullshit. Yeah, there you go. You know, the golden rule and shit, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I mean, everybody's got their own school of thought on that shit.
Well, of course, yes.
You know, and not to be offensive and not to be offending anybody by any means.
Dude, if anybody was offended, they'd have turned this shit off long ago.
Oh, and okay, I get it.
That's fine.
As far as you know, karma and, you know, and the way we do things and in the way we are, man, I'm sitting there thinking about all the shit that we've actually, you know, dealt with, put up with, fucked with people. And I know for a fact in my heart of all hearts that we are right where we're supposed to be some fuck how, some way, somehow. I know we are.
Well, that's. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. You are where you're supposed to be at any given moment, even if you're standing in a pile of shit. You're there because you're supposed to be.
Right.
And I try and look at it that way because there's a reason why I'm here. Was it of my own doing or was it somebody else's doing? And usually as I look back on it, it goes, it was my own doing.
Right.
Remember, I have nobody else to blame.
Remember the first time? Remember the first time we met?
At the Eagles concert?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
You, Melody, Joe, and myself.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I
remember. And Doug was there.
Was Doug there?
Doug was there. Yeah, he came with us. Yeah.
Where was he sitting?
Right behind us.
Hell, that fucker didn't talk to me.
He didn't know you.
So?
He didn't know you. That's how Doug is. Refer to episode 2.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah. What about that?
No, I just, you know, it's funny how you think about, you know, the people that you come across, people that you meet, you know, do you would you have ever thought, you know, the relationships that we have now and what we've got going on now.
At that time, no, I would have never dreamed this.
Yeah. You know, and I think about all the things that we put up with and dealt with. And I thought about that, you know, it recently came to my mind. I guess it was this past week. I thought about that month I tried to quit on you. Like,
And what came out of my face?
God, you got mad.
I got mad. Yeah. I can take a lot.
Mm.
And it takes an awful lot to really offend me. It really does. I am a pretty cool customer.
Did I offend you?
I was not offended. All right, maybe a little bit. Because I felt like, well, fine, you're going to cut it loose like that? The hell? And I was more worried about your personal investment and just turning around and going, well, fuck it, I quit because the going got kind of tough.
Yeah.
Because trust me, there have been times when I thought the same thing.
Right.
When I've woken up in the middle of the night going, you know what? I think I have made a horrible mistake. And for the longest time, I'm still dealing with this, is that my bad luck had been somehow imparted onto everybody else. And it's, you know, obviously not necessarily
No,
the
that's
case.
Not the case.
But it's easy for me to shoulder that because I've asked everybody to be into this. And obviously, in some cases, against their will.
Mm.
But at the
Not
same
on every step, yes.
but at the same time, we've all gotten involved in building this thing and doing what we're doing, and as a result, the rewards of that have really been immense so far.
They
really are.
They've actually been quite amazing. I mean, damn, dude.
They're not material.
No, not at all.
But I'm starting to see a clearer picture of that. And that's, I think, is what's helping me out a little bit, because I don't feel like I'm having to be that big of an ass, or considered as such. If people want to think of me as an asshole, I don't have a problem with that. But it would hurt me, though, if I thought that people thought I intentionally hurt them. I think that would bother me. That would bother me deeply.
Right. And then you wouldn't.
Or if I've let somebody down, I think that bothers me more than anything else. And I think that stems from my fear of the intimidation thing, is that I feel like I'm going to step on that stage and let somebody down.
Nah.
That
you're putting way too much weight in that.
That's how I work.
No. I mean, look at the craziness, man. You know what's really cool?
Yeah, it's crazy, all right.
What's really cool is when you find out that, you know, somebody that we played, you know, winds up getting an opportunity because they were hurt here.
That's
fucking amazing to me.
That's what we do.
I get that. I get that. You know, and that's you know, and it's not even going to sound right when I say this. It's not necessarily a benefit as far as for Radio Memphis, other than the fact that we get, you know, credited for, okay, you heard it here, so therefore, you know, you found it. Somebody gets heard, and, you know, they get all of these opportunities, and they get everything, you know, brought to them because they got heard. And it was one of those things where they get to work with something, they get to get picked up, they get to go on a tour, they get to be part of a commercial, they get to cut an album or something like that. And it's not like they have to turn around and pay Radio Memphis, because we don't do that. That's not our thing.
Right.
So for me, it's like, man, I am so cool and so happy to be part of your journey. You know, and like I would like.
And that's part of what we do.
Right.
We present these artists to as big of an audience as we can.
Hmm.
At the same time, are we as a group entertaining?
No.
No? Because if we have it, I'm going to shut the fucker off now and be done with it.
You know, I'd
like to think that we are entertaining.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we have fun. We hang out. We got, you know.
I mean, on the air. Not in the, I mean.
Yeah, on the air. No, that's what, that's, look.
The station as a whole, is it entertaining?
Yes, I agree. And here's the thing.
Then we've done our job.
I don't even think about it being on air. It just so happens that when we were talking, there might be a microphone on.
No, I'm not talking about individual. I'm talking about the station as a collective, as a group. And you look across in a 24-hour period, and no matter what, or throughout a week, is it largely entertaining?
Yes.
Then we've done our job.
Okay. Yeah, of course it's entertaining. If it wasn't entertaining, people wouldn't fucking tune in.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty simple mathematics there.
And that's sort of the point.
I mean,
I wouldn't do it if that was the case.
No, we're entertaining. Fuck. I thought like there's a trigger. I mean, was getting tested?
No, that's because I guess when I ask that, I want validation that what we're doing is correct.
Look, the way I
not see- just not for the benefit of the musicians. I'm talking about for the benefit of everybody that's sucked into this thing on an audience level.
Sure,
those people who are longtime listeners and longtime supporters of what we've done.
Sure.
If they're entertained, I mean, we've seen the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're huge.
They're huge. And when you look at that, you don't see individual faces, obviously. No. You're just looking at numbers on a piece
But if
of
you
paper.
Spent more time and maybe interacted, like, you know, on social media and stuff like that, you might.
I guess.
No, you don't.
Yes.
No, you fucking don't.
Okay, I don't. But what's that going to.
You know, the only time you fucking interact is if I tag you into something, then you have to answer somebody's
shit. Yeah, because I'm dragged into it, for God's sake.
Well, goddamn, that's what I'm, you know, talk to motherfuckers, say hey to them, you know, let them know, yes.
I do.
It's okay.
I volunteer comments to people all the time. They just don't like what I say sometimes.
God damn it, Rick.
What?
Just quit chewing your nail like a 5-year-old and talk to me, you know? And we're here for a purpose. We're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be
here. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know. I agree with you on that.
No, you know, you're supposed to be
my
here.
My shortcomings have nothing to do with any of that.
I mean, let's take a look at every fucking buddy that works here. And, you know, okay.
Well, we could sit here and pick everybody apart.
You know, we got Doc. And again, he'll be his own episode. And that right there, you've got.
That's all there is to
that. You've got to fucking tune into that one. You got Doug.
You've heard of episode 2.
You've been introduced to him. You know, you've got Beast. Jesus Christ. You know, God love him. Thank you for serving our country.
We need to do one with the two of you in here.
Oh, my God.
That was the initial plan for this, but it's, you know, it's the way it worked out.
Yeah, you know.
He had a show to go to, but that's
okay.
Fine.
That's okay. We, you know, you and I got to actually kind of hang out and do what we always do and stuff. Man, because God tell you what, man, you fucking put that Beast in here with me right now.
See, that's just it. And all I'm going to do is start recording and go. Dirty D and the Beast, ladies and gentlemen. And away it goes.
You know, everything that he's gone through, you know, as far as in his lifetime and what he's, you know, been a part of.
And whether or not he wants to get into all that, that's strictly up to him, but.
I'm sorry. We're talking about Gary.
I know that, but this is a different type of platform. I mean, there's so many people that are capturing this.
Sure they are.
Good or ill.
Sure they are.
I appreciate every moment of that.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that everybody find this, hopefully, as amusing as I do doing it. Yeah. I'm amused.
Everybody that's involved, you know, they have such a cool background. And I say that loosely when I say cool. An interesting would probably be a better word. Mm-hmm. Background to maybe give you an idea on what their thought processes are and what makes them what they are now. Everybody has a purpose. All of us have damn near died a couple of times, and we didn't make that happen, and so we're here, and we're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be doing this.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I mean, it goes even back to the day this whole thing was conceived, and it. And I knew at that time this is what I had to do. Because it was going to be one of those, if I didn't do it, I'd be standing around in 5 years' time or 10 years' time going, why didn't I do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's better to have attempted and failed than never to have attempted at all, to paraphrase Shakespeare.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we first started to now, our plans have changed. Ideas have changed. Where we thought we were going has changed.
It always happens that way.
We didn't know. We just knew. We knew that when we started that this was going to be bigger than what we were.
Without a doubt. And that's what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to ultimately outlive me.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like for that to happen.
Dude.
What?
You're still always going to be. It will. It will.
That's what I need.
It will. I promise it will.
You know, you always want to come into certain moments in your life where you can create something that doesn't define you, but outlives you.
Absolutely.
And it's capable of carrying the correct legacy on with you. The last thing I'd ever want to be is forgotten. That was a fear I had when I was let go.
I know, right?
And it was a big fear. And I thought, okay, then, you know, when that happened and I was fired, I thought, oh my God, my audience is going to forget me.
Mm.
And they didn't.
No.
And it made me feel much better. So when this came along, when Radio Memphis became a thing, then I certainly felt better about it. And knowing that this is what is happening and this creation can continue on.
Sure it can.
Obviously with my involvement in it. But if it comes to a point down the way, I don't see myself ever retiring from anything because there's nothing to retire from, quite frankly.
Mm-mm.
But if I should just drop dead or something, then I would like to think
Please make sure that we finish the manual.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, bring.
I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, you're talking to the chick that's probably shut down the station more than everybody combined.
But yeah, I mean, as long as there's a manual on how to fix it when I'm not around, then. Because, yeah, here's the thing. I'm going to be doing some traveling this summer.
I know.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
All right, I'll get on that. And what I'll do is I'm going to take my mini recorder. I'm going to record a podcast while I'm overseas.
As well as you should. So now we need a manual.
All right, we'll get on that.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland. So you want to get into broadcasting. And you went to a school, a broadcasting school, and now you can't get in the business. I mean, how can you go through your entire life, unless you are some uncontacted tribe in the jungles of Brazil, that don't understand the concept of a television, much less, how can you go through your life and not witness an episode of a sitcom? And I said, my apologies. I turned to the news director and I said, this meeting's over. She has zero credibility with me. You're telling me how to be credible to an audience where you don't even know how this is done. So I walked out of the meeting.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
So there you have it. I told you we needed an hour. We went over that, Mark.
Well, you know.
But that's easy to do. When Jeff and I sit here, we go on and on and on about probably some very boring things.
Well, you know, we just, you know, we were just kind of wanting to hang out and, you know, talk about a couple of things.
And anytime you want to do this, just say, hey, let's do a podcast and we'll sit down and we'll do one. Because I don't, like you see, I don't prepare any of this. I just started recording. I didn't tell you when we were doing it.
Mm-mm.
And away we went.
Right.
And I think that's what makes it appealing. It's a lot easier for me to do that because, like I said, the only editing is the music on the front, the music on the tail, and the little promo for next time, which has already been in there. So,
all right. You know me, man. I can do it all. And I could still not tell you shit.
There is that. Mm. So, you know, perhaps you'll just take it over and be done with it when I'm gone.
Why would I do that?
You can if you want to.
No.
I'll leave it in my will.
I don't fucking do that to me.
No, I won't.
Oh,
no, not at all.
Because I was supposed to just play with bumper stickers. That's all I was supposed to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And look at what that turned into.
Oh, it's all right.
That's the way it goes.
I could try to quit.
Yeah, you did, and we put an end to that. That shit ain't happening.
I wouldn't go anywhere, man. This is the coolest place.
Because I think if you'd had said, I quit, and I went, okay. you would have went, what?
No.
Really?
No. I would not have.
You'd have quit?
I'd have quit.
If I'd have taken you up on it, you'd have quit?
I'd have quit.
Wow. Gee, thanks.
I would still love
you. No, I see how you are.
I would still love you as my family.
No bullshit you would. No. That motherfucker accepted my resignation. To hell. He didn't even fight to keep me around. Nah, fuck him. No, I hear it now, man.
No, look.
What?
Dude.
No.
During that time of strife and mental incapacities I was experiencing, you know, for lack of better words, I thought that maybe I was probably doing something to create less stress in a situation. So,
oh God, no! You'd abandon all this, I'd have been fucked. And I've heard that from my wife.
I know,
because she has said, if we lose D, it's over.
You know what's really cool about that woman?
What's that?
That one time that we were going at it
when you and I were fighting back here, yeah.
I love her, man. She comes rolling down the hallway, and she's like, what are you doing to her? Didn't even matter that you're her husband. Didn't even matter this is...
Oh, no, I was the one that was already... She knows me way too well because, yeah, and she was right to say that, too.
It was funny as shit because we both were like, no, we're good. We're just loudly voicing our opinion.
Yeah, but I mean my guilt or innocence was already established in that whole deal.
And it was, and I just realized at that point in time, it was like, I have the upper hand.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
When she's around, you do.
And that's all that matters, man, because she's the ultimate boss of this whole operation.
Absolutely. My life is run by women, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Man, she's queen bee.
Absolutely.
She's the one that runs this whole joint.
And that's the way probably it should be.
Absolutely. I'm okay with that. I'm totally down with that.
Oh, yeah. She'll listen to this and go, uh-huh. Told you. Told you.
I wouldn't be anywhere else, man. And, we'll fight. We'll knock each other out over a couple of things.
Oh yeah, oh, that's just the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I can think about five things we can talk about right now.
Nope, we're out of time.
Good.
Look at that. We've got to go.
Oh my goodness.
Until next time.
I hear you, man. Well, I appreciate you having me hanging out with you, man.
Anytime. This belongs to the station. It's just something that I'm doing.
I get it, man. It
belongs to the station. That's where it'll stay.
Actually, I was just kind of curious what the hell you were doing. That's all.
Now you know. Now that there's the secret. It's, you know, the curtain's been lifted on what this is all about.
Love it.
So there you go.
Love it. Good deal.